much about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
You don't have to be lonely at farmersonly.com.
City folks just don't get it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I know you're all feeling the darkness here today, but there's no reason to give in. No matter what you've heard, this process will not take years. In my heart, I know we cannot be defeated because there is an answer that will open the door. There is a way around this system. This is a test of our patience and commitment. One great idea can win someone over.
That was very inspiring. Do you have any idea what the idea is?
No.
And now.
Because it's too confusing. For Kevin, you know.
Our feature presentation.
How dare you?
Every single TV show, the Kevin is the simple one.
And by that's a
nice radio show, too, but.
That's a nice word, simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, party people, welcome into yet another Kevin and Bean show. Apologize for the late start. Totally my fault. It is Wednesday, the 29th of May. And here we go. Hey, first of all, Kevin, I know you're going to want to talk about the Kings today. Congratulations. Well done.
Oh, did they play?
Super fun. Yeah, super fun last night.
Oh, you want me to now? Oh.
No, I thought you would at least acknowledge
it. Yeah, absolutely. It was the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever been a part of. Just sitting there going, come on, 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 clock.
Just waiting for that clock to turn.
Run down, exactly. Run down, come on!
Well, we'll have more on that later, but it is, it's always exciting when your team is in the playoffs and advances and gets one step closer to the goal, because that's why you play all season. That's what you're playing for, is trying to win.
Yep.
Secondly, Beer Monk, great news for you. I don't know if you saw it, but it's all over the news yesterday. It's the new diet that is apparently just taking over the world. Nikon Spa is the name of the magazine. It's Japanese. There's a 28-year-old who goes by the name Yusho Ito. He was able to lose 9 pounds in 2 months through watching this diet, but mostly masturbation 3 to 5 times a day.
All right.
Well, there's a diet you could follow, Muggs.
See?
There's a diet he is following, though.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. He may already be doing this, and it's not working.
Right.
For people who have tried the Subway diet, the cabbage soup diet, and the junk food diet, and the Atkins and the Zone, you know, there's a million different diets. Seems like there's new ones all the time. But this one is at least new to me. Anyway,
that's a lot of masturbation.
It certainly is. He said in the article, I read online that pleasuring oneself was the same as running 200 meters without a girlfriend. The only way I could become thin was through masturbation. Apparently, he does it 3 to 5 times a day.
His record is, that's hot.
Is 7 times in a single day. So, I mean, right now, Muggs is on the diet where he eats everything he wants and then just complains he's fat. That's the diet he's doing right now. What do you think about this, Muggs? Is this something you might want to look into?
Well, that diet for me is obviously not working because
not working.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
They did talk to a doctor of internal medicine in Tokyo. He said the issue with the effectiveness of this diet is what you are exhausting your body. You are not consuming enough calories by using physical strength. I don't speak whatever language that sentence is in,
right?
But it sounds to me like he's saying that too much masturbation is not going to work for you. That's not the answer, he says.
Although it seems like the more you go, the more number of times that you go throughout the day, it would take longer and longer, thereby burning more calories.
Yeah,
I would think so,
maybe.
You can't eat at the same time, really.
You can, but...
Really? Can you, Kevin?
Most people don't.
That's a talent right there. If you can eat with one hand and not with the other. Wow. I like that. Well, and the other downside is that one arm is just huge, too.
I mean, sure.
At some point, that starts to look kinky, too. So maybe we'll file that one away as maybe not the best idea for Muggs. But we're looking out for you, dude.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I will call the mafia, and they will come here and bring you to the desert and bury you.
I didn't say anything yet.
Better
you know
be good.
You're gonna hate it.
That's all I know.
All right, I'll start with you. Hooked up with a step parent.
Okay.
How's that?
Outstanding.
Hooked up with a step parent. It's got to be weird because you know older men, 65, 70.
They like the youngins.
Yeah, they bring in a 28-year-old and they got a 20-year-old son.
Right.
Right.
You know, things happen.
Sure.
Or a 40-year-old son, in that case, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, there are lots of people who have step-parents who are older than.
We are constantly looking for something for hangovers.
not obviously.
That, not that we need it, but, you know, we like to help other people.
Yeah.
And there's a new one called Sober Up, and we're going to talk to the creator of that today and find out if that works.
Ralph has tried it and said it's fantastic.
Oh, great. That's the best news ever. We're going to talk to filmmakers Mike Lerner, I don't know how to say the second name, and Max Podofskinson.
I'm sure that's right.
They did a documentary called Pussy Riot, a punk prayer, and it's a pretty good doc. And it's a HBO film, so we'll talk about that. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. And we will take a break and come back with the show Ms. Bean. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52 on the world-famous K-Rock.
Hey, Ralph's back! Isn't that great? The gang's all here!
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on The Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning.
Hello. Well, the gang's almost all here. I know Kevin's here.
My bad.
Barely. Well, never mind. Sorry. Let's just move forward.
We're having a rough start today, Ralph.
No.
Please forgive us.
Everybody's strong. Good show. I like it so far.
It's the same as when Ralph left, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right.
No difference. So it's good to be back with all you competent professionals. Once again, working at the top of your games. What happens when Courtney Love says you need to pull it together?
Wow.
What do you do with yourself at that point?
I think you have to seriously maybe evaluate your choices.
Yeah. Do you treat yourself like a bong and just toss yourself out of the 36th floor window?
Pretty much.
Amanda Bynes received a tweet from Courtney Love, urging her to pull it together, babe, was the tweet. Amanda loves when people criticize her and try to put her on the right track.
She takes it well.
She really responds well to it, usually by attacking their looks, which is exactly what Amanda did. Courtney Love is the ugliest woman I've ever seen, she tweeted. To be mentioned by her at all makes me and all my friends laugh. All your friends. That's funny. All the people who live in your closet, Amanda.
AmandaPlease.com.
Yeah. Then Courtney came back with, which I thought was funny, will you people lay off on giving this girl such grief? And she was the one who said pull it together in the first tweet.
Hmm.
But pull it together can either be an insult or a come on, get with it
type. Yeah.
Type thing.
Courtney later went on to say, she's a beautiful, talented young woman. We all go through our ups and downs. Grow up. Yeah. Courtney is all about those ups and downs. Now, this is the same woman, Amanda, who said Rihanna was fugly-faced and called Jenny McCarthy an old lady when she tried to help.
Right.
So she doesn't respond well to those who give her an outstretched hand via Twitter. Interestingly enough, regarding those Rihanna tweets where she called her hideously ugly and said Chris Brown beat you because you're ugly.
Yeah.
Now she's claiming that someone hijacked her Twitter account over the weekend. And that's why all those tweets were posted.
Somebody hijacked it.
Maybe it was one of her friends who live in her closet.
Or in her head.
She said someone else mocked up all the fake messages about Rihanna. And Amanda says she's quite sure they'll be in a music video together one day.
I doubt that.
Ralph, we talked to Harvey Levin yesterday. You were out, and Kevin asked him, can we still laugh at Amanda, or is it crossed that line now, and now it's just sad? And Harvey said, yeah, it's not funny anymore, guys.
No, the hell it's not.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree either.
By the way, Amanda says that all those charges are going to be dropped, by the way, in New York City.
They are.
Because her lawyer is going to take care of it all. They're going to set the record straight. And she also said the charges will be dropped because she is, and I quote, an educated multimillionaire who knows better than to speak to perverted, unjust cops without my lawyer. Well, they did slap her vagina, if you believe her tweets. So.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Meanwhile, George Clooney's girlfriend, Stacey Keibler, might have to be a little nervous.
Oh.
George was photographed by Star Magazine fondling an ass this weekend.
Fondling an ass.
Yeah, he was grabbing.
Who did it belong to?
Grabbing a little ass. It was a little pet donkey outside his home in Lake Como, Italy.
Even worse than I thought.
He was fondling an ass. Yeah. George Clooney stops the pet donkeys. He's just the best.
Yep.
Smells like donkey ass.
That's what I'm saying. And porn star Kim Kardashian seems to believe that giving birth is going to be much like going to the spa.
Really?
Yeah. National Enquirer apparently has the details of her booked private birthing suite at Cedars-Sinai Hospital here in Los Angeles. Here's the kind of luxury she will be living in while she poops a human out of her vagina.
I don't. I'm not sure that's how it works.
It's exactly how it works.
Okay.
She's going to have a soaking tub, two king-size beds, a sitting room, a flat-screen television. They're insisting that the entire room be decked out with dozens of white roses. Kim has hired a personal photographer to document the birth.
Sure.
Because nothing happens for Kim Kardashian unless it happens in front of a camera.
That's true, yeah.
She has a hairstylist.
What?
That has been employed, who will be at the ready.
Well, she's got photos, so she's going to look good.
A team of photoshoppers.
Okay, more blush, more blush. She's going to be made up and get her hair done while she's doing Lamaze.
Isn't that the most important thing while you're giving birth to a child, though, is how you look?
Absolutely. She has a standby order of takeout from Ruth Chris's Steakhouse, ready to go the minute the delivery happens.
So they're ready around
they're
the clock.
They're going to have it catered. They're going to have the birth catered.
Wow.
And sponsored, I'm sure.
And she also has purchased $25,000 in lingerie that she'll be wearing around the maternity ward.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Yeah.
Well, no, you want the baby to think you're sexy when it comes out to suckle your teat.
What's happening?
Did you mention whether the cameras from the television show will be there documenting it as well?
It does not say that here, and I don't have those details.
Because I am shocked if there's not going to be a Kim Kardashian Gives Birth special.
I can't imagine that will not happen, too. I think you're right there. The only thing Kim won't have there at the birthing center is her boyfriend, apparently. Kanye West not included. The only detail she's forgotten.
There'll be some runway show in South Africa he'll need to be at or something.
You know. That Chirac ain't going to sell itself.
That's right.
Today's celebrity birthday is comedian Daniel Tosh is 38 years old today. Melanie B. Mel Brown of Spice Girls is 38 years old as well. Noel Gallagher of Oasis turns 46. Melissa Etheridge is 52. Actor Rupert Everett, or what's left of him, is 54 years old today. Annette Bening turns 55. LaToya Jackson is 57. And composer Danny Elfman, who has given you so many wonderful film soundtracks, as well as the music of Oingo Boingo, 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You tried the new hangover cure? You tried to sober up already this morning? How's it feeling?
I'm fine. I was not drunk. I sound drunk. I wasn't, though.
Well, that's not going to help, then.
I'm in a permanent state of sounding drunk. I don't really have any option about that.
Well, we'll find out more about this remarkable hangover cure coming up later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we've got the documentary filmmakers behind the Pussy Riot documentary. That's going to be on HBO coming up here next week. So that's all on the way. Adam Carolla, too. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air like we do at 323-520-AFRO. You call us. You leave us a message, and we play it back on the radio.
Give us some context, though, because this could be about anything.
Bean, shut up, Bean. Shut the F up, Bean.
Yeah, that's a tough
I got
one.
Nothing to go on with that.
Doobie, doobie, doo. Nobody likes you because you all smell like poo.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Omar.
You can tell Omar is the one who selected the calls for today's Afro line.
Bean, I cut out three other poo calls, just so you know.
He is obsessed. Isn't he like a two-year-old?
We play Lick Lisa often. And
Not often enough.
This listener would like to take it a step further.
Lisa. Lisa. Why is it only Lick Lisa? Why can't it be Andreas Lisa? Oh, fire beam up.
Comes to a census right at the end there.
Out at the end, that's what I was going to say. I was out right up until the end.
Yep.
Stop talking about hockey. Nobody but you gives an F.
I'd just like to say, you mistakenly think that we care.
Good point.
Thank you.
Beer mug, you're fired. Now, get the f*** out. There, I did it. Can we get on the show now, please?
Wow, we just needed him around. I didn't know some random listener could call up and fire a beer mug. That's a load off my mind.
More love for the mugs.
Fantastic. Smell me. I'm at the Star Trek World Carpet Mirror. Long live your prosper. How the f*** you still have a job?
Those are all spectacular.
That's a great impression, too.
Thanks to everybody who downloads the podcast and listens to it.
I was listening to the podcast about people that have done heroic things. I just did that. I saw a lady with really nice boobs, and I stared at him because, much like Santa Claus, who, if he is not believed in, will cease to exist, so awesome boobs must be stared at. So I'm a hero.
All right. Okay.
That I am also a hero.
All right.
Hey, Kevin. Who's your favorite movie director? J.J. Abrams' son?
I don't remember doing that, but I probably did. And if I didn't, I will. This one is... Anybody interested in practical jokes? You like to play practical jokes on your friends?
Sometimes I'm impressed if they're clever, sure.
What if it's not clever?
Well,
not as impressed.
Hey, you want to make somebody mad? Just ring their phone number and ring once and hang up.
All right.
And then redial again.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Ring once. Hang up.
Hang up.
Redial again.
A third time.
Ring once. Hang up.
Okay.
Now redial again.
What?
Ring twice.
Twice! Oh, there it is. Right there is the comedy. Then the last time you ring twice, Bean.
Then what does that do for me?
It's funny.
Okay.
To everyone involved.
You know, Bean's been getting a lot of hate lately for his moments with...
And now, a moment with Bean.
Because in a way, it kind of looked like, well, at least all is ends that, you know, whatever that old expression is about all ends that wells or however, you know what I mean.
Awesome!
Are you trying to say all's well that ends well?
Thank you, Bean.
That was a moment with Bean.
I think we should remember that Kevin is the champ, and therefore you guys should play Kevin the Drunkie. Hit it, Steve.
It has been a while.
Unfortunately, Steve is not here, but Beer Mug is. There we go.
So what? He sounds drunk. So what? He can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Got a special guest to talk to about it. It's like you catch a fish in a lake and you put it out on the ground and just like flops around on the ground completely. It's like a fish out of water is what it's like.
Now he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Monday morning we have an all new Kevin and Bean Show.
And how often have you used it?
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
Where is your...
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
When you roast E-Fiesta 2007.
Oh my God!
I saw him as a what do you call him?
I don't.
Guy that does color commentary.
By the way, just for the movie theaters, all do not. There's no all that. There's not. It's not a hard one, but if you heard it, that it is the way you heard it.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you a regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Yeah. Not even an accident. I mean, it's not even his. You don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You know, you have to do it like they say.
Yes, and you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just, hours.
But the photo shoot didn't look good.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about?
Now that's par for the cake, for the course. I got it.
I don't know, that's a toss-up.
and
the disadvantage
in this story.
When good men fail to stand up, bad yes. triumphs, or whatever that is.
We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
What did you do?
Are you here to protect us? Not hot?
That song is over, and now we will speak. It's the Kevin and Beecher on the world-famous K-Rock.
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
What?
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
I'm not drunk.
We owe every one of you that listen to the show a great debt of gratitude. I don't think that's what I meant to say.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy.
Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry.
I think you missed an opportunity to dedicate Take a Walk to the San Jose Sharks that are still in town,
yeah!
Kevin. See what we did there? Last night was the end of round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Los Angeles Kings, defending Stanley Cup champion Los Angeles Kings, who are now moving on to round number three against either Detroit, your favorite, Kevin, or the Chicago Blackhawks. Tickets are going on sale for round three, even though we don't know who the team is going to be playing or when. They go on sale at 6 o'clock through Ticketmaster. You were at the game last night. Tell
me
about it.
It was – game sevens are crazy, really crazy, because you're super nervous. Yeah. If the team loses, their season is over. And
right.
it also brings out the celebrities. You know, there are celebrities like Eric Stonestreet, who plays the Cam on Modern Family, who's there every game, every single game. And then, you know, when it gets to be important games, Tom Cruise starts showing up. And David Beckham was there last night.
Wow.
And little Justin Bieber was there last night.
Really?
I'm like, come on, really? At least Tom Cruise came to the three or four of the playoff games.
Mm-hmm. But Justin just showed up last night
just
for
last
game
night
seven?
Because it was game seven and he wanted to be seen. You know how
How's he received by the crowd? He strikes me as somebody who might get booed at Staples Center.
I don't know because I didn't see him put him on the big screen and I wasn't sitting near him.
Right, right, right.
So Cam... Eric Stonestreet was sitting near him, and he made a very funny vine that I just tweeted out about Bieber being there, and it was just, it's just absurd. It's ridiculous.
Well, let's see what the Biebs has to say about it. I think we've got him on the phone. He was there at Staples Center last night with the Los Angeles Kings hat on. Hi, Justin. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Kings, yo.
Yo,
my Kings came through,
Do
bro.
Do not start acting like this is your team.
Oh, come on, bro. What? That's, you know, I'm like the Jack Nicholson of the Los Angeles Kings.
Not really. How many games have you been to?
All.
Isn't this the first one, Justin?
No. I've been there every game.
Every
What was the last game you were at, then? If you were there last night, before that, what was the last game you were at?
The one before that one.
Nope. You weren't at that one.
You just didn't see me, yo.
What about the security?
All swag and whatnot. I wear sunglasses. You don't even recognize me.
Yeah. What about the security guard that told me this is the first time you've ever been there?
He's lying, yo.
I see. All right.
He's jealous. I'm not a gimmick. I'm 19 and I
right.
think I'm doing a pretty good job.
You think
job.
You're doing good. Right. Okay.
So I think all that should not be spoken of.
Why aren't you a fan of one of your teams back home? Why aren't you, you know, a Montreal fan or somebody like that?
Because I've always been all about the L.A. Kings, yo. I'm just number one. I'm number one fan. L.A. Kings number one
all right.
fan.
Who's number 11?
11
yeah.
is Donnie Appleseed.
There's no Donnie Appleseed on the Kings. Well,
Donnie is lesser known brother.
Let's make it easier for you, Justin. Who's your favorite Kings player?
Well, they're all so good, yo. It's just they got so much swag, and I like that one guy with the beard. He's great.
Who's the goalie?
Everybody knows.
Right, but I'm saying
if
you're the number one fan.
I'm not going to lie to it and be, you know, talking down to people's intelligence, yo. What's with all the questions, bro?
Well, we're just trying to source you on being the Kings' number one fan. It seems like you could, I don't know, name a player if you were in fact a fan.
Name any player, just any player, past or present.
I like the
yes
player.
Any right. player.
Okay.
Who's named?
He's,
who's ever played.
You know, the one. The
Which
guy,
one?
The one with the stick. The one who shoots the puck.
They all do that.
Sometimes stops the puck from being shot
you
the other way.
Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah,
or
that's him. Wayne Gretzky.
Luke
that's Robitaille the one I was talking
or
about.
Any of those people.
Yeah,
come on, Justin, stop it.
Yeah,
stop it.
Did you have much?
Robitaille. Lock Lobster.
Yes, that's his name,
yeah.
Rock Lobster.
Rock Lobster.
Did you have
like
much him. Of an entourage with you last night at the Kings game?
No, just me and a few homies, yo. So I travel with my inner circle, that's all.
Right.
And they don't let me drive now.
They shouldn't.
I think that's wise, yes.
Yeah.
So somebody has to drive for me because people are hating on me when I'm driving, yo.
Well,
what's
they don't
about, bro,
they
eh?
They don't want you driving through the neighborhood 100 miles an hour in a, you know, a residential area.
Wasn't me.
It was you, though. People saw you getting out of the car in your driveway.
Wasn't me.
How was it not you?
Even
people
they
saw
got the pictures, it wasn't me.
All right, Justin.
On the wheel, it wasn't me.
It wasn't you, right, all right.
No. And I don't like that football guy saying that it was me, because I'm like, hey, first of all, Canadian football, it has an even longer field, eh?
What does that have to do with anything?
Just grasping at straws, bro.
By the way, I don't think we've mentioned yet today, K-Rock's Festival Flyaway Destination number 2 at 9:10 this morning. You will qualify. Have you heard about this yet, Ralph?
Yeah.
The Rock Werchter Festival?
Yes.
In Brussels, Belgium, don't you know? 30 Seconds to Mars, Phoenix, Depeche Mode, Blur, Green Day, hell of a show. 9:10 this morning on the Kevin Bean Show, your chance to get on the standby boarding list. And then throughout the day at K-Rock, you can go to krock.com for all the details. Time now for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Yeah, I worked her. That's my festival.
See? Oh,
the Werchter Festival.
Right?
Oh! You know, I was rooting for the Kings until I watched the game last night.
What are you talking about,
Bieber? How can you root for
He's
a team that's got Bieber in the crowd?
He's not a fan.
His little hat on, his little Kings hat. I was just glad to see longtime hardcore Kings fans like Tom Cruise and David Beckham were there celebrating. It was great to see them because they're there at every game. Every time you watch the Kings on television, you see Cruise right there on the glass, and it's just so great to see him there.
They do get good seats.
late in the playoffs when they decide to show up. Bunch of bandwagoners. At least Jack's there all the time. You see, middle of the season, there's Jack and Lou Adler sitting down there, right there courtside.
Miserable this past year, but there.
But look, they're there. There, yeah. God bless them.
Yep.
Instead of these showbiz wannabe fans hanging around just...
You got to give it up for your man Kevin, though. He's there all
Kevin's
season
real.
Long.
Look, there's a He's lot legit. Of... That's why I'm angry. I'm angry for the hardcore Kings fans who have been there season after season after season. Now, suddenly...
There are a lot of lean years when Tom Cruise didn't show up.
Exactly.
A lot of lean years when the Kings didn't show up.
That's Hanks true. And Stone Street and Kevin and guys like that who show up and go to a lot of the games and suddenly... Oh, I'm David Beckham. I'd like to watch a game. Is this like football, only with a small rubber ball? I don't quite understand. Let me just play with my kids in the stands instead of watching the game.
F him.
I want the Ralph cam at all Kings games now.
Good news is, his buddy Tom Cruise thinks Beckham's got what it takes to be an action star. He's planning on making him a movie star now. Excellent. Good.
He's done a little acting, right?
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be good. This, nothing but good will come from this. And the films that he makes will be great. Because I was just saying, movies need a flimsy Brit with a reedy little voice. That's what I'm thinking. Of all the holes I see in show business that need to be filled, where is the flimsy Brit with the reedy voice?
There's no action star currently with a ponytail.
These are all true. Since Seagal stopped being up there
right
top of the ranks, we're missing a ponytailed action star. Stop it. Good news is Tom Cruise is so busy trying to become a Kings fan and jumping on the bandwagon that he had to drop out of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Saved.
Yeah,
saved the
no
movie
kidding.
For you.
I feel like I'm Jonathan Quick and they just hit the pipe. Just rang one off the pipe. I got lucky. Yeah, good news is Tom Cruise has dropped out of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. You know I was against that idea. The movie's still being directed by Guy Ritchie. Armie Hammer will still co-star as Ilya Kuryakin. Of course, partner to Napoleon Solo, who is The Man from U.N.C.L.E. The good news even more so is that they're in talks to replace Tom Cruise with Henry Cavill. Who, of course, is going to be Superman in the upcoming Man of Steel. And he may take over the role of Napoleon Solo. And I think that's great casting because he is charming and good-looking and suave. And he's got all the tools and he's a good actor. So there may be hope for me yet with my Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie.
I've never seen that Henry Cavill in anything, have I, Ralph? Has he done much?
Did you see the Tudors? Did you watch the Tudors?
I didn't see that.
I was a hardcore Tudors fan, and that's when I first said, this guy's incredible. I'm no Mo, but geez, I just want him so bad.
I did see that. I did see that.
Did he make your butt hungry?
He did. He's sexy as hell and a really good actor on top of it all. I said, this guy's going to be a big star.
Do you want extra sausage?
No, I got plenty. Thanks. I'm good.
I did see that Man of Steel trailer the other day, and it gave me goosebumps. I got to be honest.
Looks
it looks pretty awesome.
He looks terrific. Speaking of sausage... Congratulations to Behind the Candelabra, the Liberace film on HBO
yes.
Sunday night.
Finished that last night.
Oh, what a great film.
So great.
Really entertaining. And did great numbers for HBO. 3.5 million viewers for HBO. It's the most watched premiere movie on
HBO since 2004. That's how many people were excited about Behind the Candelabra.
I thought it was just going to be like campy, fun, silly. You know what I mean? It ended up being emotional and
it's a real story, man.
Devastating, yeah. At the end there, I mean, what a lot of heart and great performances. It was really terrific.
You don't put Soderbergh in charge of something that's just going to be fluffy and one off. This guy's the real deal. He brings
the real deal. Yeah.
Always brings many levels to all the work that he does, and great performances by Michael Douglas and Matt Damon. By the way,
absolutely. I mean, we were saying yesterday, Ralph, that it had this gone the theatrical route like it was originally intended to for Steven Soderbergh. There's no question both of those guys would have gotten Oscar nominations. No question at all.
Especially Douglas. Remarkable.
Tremendous.
To have to do...
he's terrific.
To have to do an impression of such a widely known, publicized, often imitated and mocked celebrity like Liberace and ground it and make him somehow a real person is a tremendous task, and he was certainly up to it.
So it doesn't feel like he's doing an impression.
He's right on. It's him. Wow. It's Liberace, you never feel like you're watching a sketch where somebody's just doing the character. You know, I really was impressed. It was good stuff. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Daniel Tosh is 38 years old today. Melanie Brown of the Spice Girls, also 38. Noel Gallagher of Oasis turns 46. Melissa Etheridge turns 52. Rupert Everett, British actor, 54 years old today. Annette Bening celebrates her 55th birthday. LaToya Jackson, she's 57. And composer, songwriter, musical legend Danny Elfman of Boingo fame. And, of course, many, many motion pictures is 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman.
Well, we did a story a few days ago that I thought was fascinating out of Tasmania, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Tasmania, a guy was convinced for some reason that there were ghosts in his home, so he set up a camera in the kitchen. I guess he'd been hearing some noises or something like that, so he wanted to find out what's making this noise. What's the racket? What's causing it? Is it ghosts? And instead of finding ghosts, he found his, I guess, common-law wife, longtime live-in girlfriend, making out with his son.
Oops.
That's what showed up on the tape instead.
How old was the dude that was his boyfriend, her boyfriend? How old was he?
Ask it again.
How old was the old guy?
How old is the dad? I don't think it says how old the dad is.
Because it could be one of those deals where the dad is 60 and has a 28-year-old girlfriend. And a 60-year-old could easily have a 20-year-old son.
Right, that could absolutely work. Yeah, you're right. A lot of times with second wives, second relationships for the man, they find someone who's considerably younger. Sometimes they're around the same age as the kids. Sometimes they're even younger than the kids are. In this case, I don't know how old the dad was, the father, but the woman was 28, Kevin, and the man's son, who she finally admitted, by the way, they had been having sex multiple times. It wasn't just a one-time, hey, we're making out in the kitchen deal. They'd been doing it. He was 16.
16. Ooh.
She had been dating the boy's father for 11 years, by the way. So let's face it, at that point, he's 16. She's been around since he was 5. For all intents and purposes, whether they're married or not, that's his stepmother, right?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, sort of.
Sort of.
I mean, no, technically, yes. But
they're living together.
But she's not really in the role of mother. I can't
imagine.
And we
don't know when they moved in together.
Well, it just started.
Are we looking for stories of people who slept with their stepmother? Is that what's happening?
Yes, that's exactly what we're looking for.
We're looking for stepfather.
Yes, we're looking for you dated your parents' significant other. That's what we're looking for. And I guess it could be at the same time, or it could be after the fact, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, both are awkward, but same
both
time
are a little bit awkward.
Same time is better,
especially at Christmas.
I know that
Valentine's Day.
I know that a lot of people I understand that a lot of people have trouble meeting other people to date. I understand that the dating pool can be small for some people, particularly people who are busy with work or just don't get out that much or something like that. But it does seem like you ought to extend the circle beyond your family. Don't you think?
Certainly should try, yeah. I mean, you guys remember we had this conversation about Megan Fox when she started dating. Who was it? Brian
Austin Green. She's now who she's now married to.
Right.
And he
has a kid. So Megan Fox now is moving into your house, and you're not related to her in any way.
You are trying to see her naked all the time.
And wasn't Brian Austin Green's kid, and we don't have this in front of us, but wasn't he a young teenager? I mean, basically he was 12, 13 years old,
something like that.
And now all of a sudden Megan freaking Fox is moving into your home.
Now that doesn't necessarily mean she's interested, but for God's sakes.
I mean, come on.
I mean, that story in Tasmania is awesome because she's getting the money from the dude and the laying pipe from the younger dude. She's getting it from both ends, so to speak.
Well, I don't know about that. That was not revealed in the video, Kevin, whether she's getting it at both ends.
Oh, never mind.
We want to take your telephone calls if you have dated your parents' significant other. So you're a girl who's dated your mother's boyfriend or husband, mm-hmm. or you're a boy who's dated your father's girlfriend or wife. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. That's the call-in topic here on the Kevin and Bean
Show.
Now,
you use the word dated. Are we also accepting, one-night stand sex?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just banged is fine, too. Yeah. So I typed dated my stepmom on Google. I wanted to see what would come up. And here's the first thing that came up on the Yahoo Answers page, and this is where people ask for advice from the community. Idea needed for a first date with my stepmom is how this would begin. I am a 20-year-old male who has fallen in love with his stepmother of 4 years. I realize that my dad has not been the best husband to her, and I am planning to woo her this Friday night and let her know of my true feelings for her. What are some great places to take her that are both romantic and cheapish, since my tuition for the fall semester is due in 2 weeks?
Chuck E. Cheese?
And the person right after that says, oh my God, I am totally dating my stepdad too. Usually we just stay home. It's cheap and easy. I skip classes while my mom goes to work, and we get down everywhere in the house.
What is happening?
Oh my God.
So apparently this is a thing.
Wow.
Well, we're afraid that this isn't a thing. We were afraid yesterday, like, would we get enough calls? We almost can't find a topic where we can't get calls.
Yeah.
So right. I imagine if there are any people who are, you know, having sex with mom or dad's significant other, it would be the people listening to this show. Let's be honest.
All right. Well, we'll find out. We'll take a break. Please get to the phone. Pick up the phone. You can be anonymous if you want. We want to hear your story. 1-800-520-1067. You know what we're looking for. We'll talk to you next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Wednesday morning. Got the filmmakers behind a fascinating documentary about Pussy Riot, the band in Russia that is still in jail for doing what we would consider in this country a First Amendment type protest. So interesting story about the way things work over there. Adam Carolla on the program later on today. Right now, though, we're talking about you slept with your stepmom or your stepdad.
Now, that sounds crazy, but it's not quite so crazy if dad's older and it has a younger girlfriend or wife.
Right.
Yeah. It is a step-parent. It's not somebody you're related to. And in many cases, it's not even somebody you've even lived with. It's just somebody that that your parent happens to be dating. Maybe you got to them one time. Maybe you got to them after they broke up and you guys successfully had a relationship.
Maybe you keep getting to them.
There's a lot of possibilities. We didn't know if we'd get any calls on this topic. We are taking your stories at 1-800-520-1067. And I guess the good news is we're not getting many. So maybe it's not happening all that often, but we do have our man Alex on the line. He is on line two, and he gets us going here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Alex, thanks for calling and holding on, my friend. How are you?
I'm okay, and yourself?
Good. First of all, how old is your dad?
My dad is 52.
52, all right.
And how old are you or were you when this was going on?
I'm 26, and we'll see my dad's significant other, because I don't like to call her my stepmom.
No problem.
I don't blame you.
All right, how old is she?
I'm sorry?
How old is she?
She's 48.
48.
Wow. And is this something that's going on right now, Alex?
Actually, she's kind of pissed off at me laying in my dad's bed right now. She didn't even want me to call.
Wait, hold on. She's laying next to you and you're laying in your dad's bed?
Yes.
I wonder why she didn't want you to call. That's weird.
Where's your dad?
My dad's out of town for work.
Well, thank God we don't have a podcast or any other way you can identify your voice. So what's the story here, Alex? Walk us through it. How long had your dad and this lady been together before she caught your eye?
They've been together almost, I want to say, about a year and a half, and me and her have been messing around for probably about 4.5 months.
Who made the first move? You or her?
It was kind of the alcohol thing, you know.
I got okay, that explains one time. I can understand how you would get drunk and you guys would hook up because, again, you're not related, you know. But don't you then sober up and the next day go, wow, that was a big mistake. We can't ever let that happen again.
Not if it's good, Bean.
But what about the relationship she's having with your father? Doesn't she care about that?
I kind of think it's to the end already. So it's kind of like, I don't know, you know, she just figures it's to the end and might as well just go for broke on it.
Hey, Alex, how about handing the phone to her?
Want to talk to her?
Yeah.
She's shaking her head right now.
Oh, come on! how's your dad going to react if he finds out about this?
He's going to be upset.
You seem fine with that.
You do. All right, Alex.
What's your first and last name?
So good luck with that, okay?
Okay, thank you guys. Take care.
Thanks all for right. calling.
Bye now.
What the hell?
Love it.
Let's try Mike. Mike's on line 1-800-520-1067. Relationship or sex with your parents' significant other. That's the topic on the next next Kevin and Bean show. Mike, what's the deal, dude?
Hey, how's it going, guys? How you doing, Lisa?
Good.
I did get an email just before we get to Mike's story that we should contact Woody.
Oh, Woody Allen.
Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
We should see how long it would take him to come up with Allen.
It could have been all day, Bean.
All right, Mike, what's happening, man? What's going on where you are?
So bear with me, guys. My biological mother and father were divorced, and my dad remarried. So he remarried, she would become my stepmom.
Right.
And her sister was my step aunt, I guess. And
okay.
My dad and my stepmom divorced, and
okay.
he remarried the sister, my what okay. would have been my step aunt.
Oh, right.
Well, during the period of the divorce, my step aunt and I was assuming we were no longer family, became involved.
Right.
And then they subsequently ended up getting married.
Understood. So in wow. other words, your dad ended up marrying a woman that you had already been with.
Correct.
And
correct.
Did he know that?
He did not know that at the time. He did not know
does
that.
Does he know that now?
And he does now. And we maintained the relationship through the engagement. And I knew about it. And he still didn't know about it. And
wow.
then, once he got married, we kind of decided it's probably not a good idea anymore.
So really? You decided it's probably not a good idea?
I could say that I got there first.
Well, you can't say that, I guess.
I wouldn't, but you can.
So why do you think the girl that you were having the relationship with, why do you think she was having sex with you while she was engaged to be married to someone else?
The only reason I could imagine is just because we had already, like I said, I thought there was going to be no more connection. I didn't know that my dad was going to up and remarry to the aunt.
No, I get that, but I'm looking at it from her perspective, though. She's already got a relationship going with you, and then she starts dating and marrying your father. What do you think's going on in her mind?
Right. Probably not a whole lot.
He's got more money than Mike.
Yeah. She, I don't. What we had going on, I wouldn't really call dating. It was more of just a physicality. So I don't know
gotcha.
If you thought about it beyond that. So
All right.
And you said your dad doesn't know yet.
No, he does now.
He knows now.
He does now.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So everything's cool. Everybody's fine now, right?
Everything's cool. Yeah.
Are you still attracted to her?
I mean, she's physically attractive. Yeah, but I can't look at her like that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't look at her now.
Well, it sounds like you handled it pretty well, Mike. I mean, it sounds like everybody kind of, I mean, it's not ideal, TV, but it worked out.
Right.
Have you ever told your dad I got there first?
I have not said that.
Saving
but
that.
If he's listening, he probably knows now.
Dear Kevin and Bean, tune in at the start of the last phone caller. You guys totally ignored the fact that his dad divorced his second wife and then married her sister.
That's true.
Sounds like a future Kevin and Bean call-in topic as well. Yeah, that is an interesting thing. We weren't focused on that part of it, but that's kind of weird.
Divorced
that must have been
one woman and then married sister.
Must have been odd Thanksgiving conversation. Congratulations to K-Rock's Kevin and all the Los Angeles Kings fans on Los Angeles advancing into round 3 of the Stanley Cup playoffs last night. Very exciting, very tense game. You got a chance to see, of course, you were at the game, though, Kevin.
I was,
but
yeah.
When you got home, I know you immediately went to Coach Sutter's post-game press conference.
He's the
those
best.
Have become your new obsession.
Coach Sutter is the best. A, he's a really good coach, and he's I think his strength is, like, keeping the team focused on the task at hand.
Uh-huh.
He has no time for the nonsense in the press conferences afterwards. And we played this for you before Game 7, when the reporter was trying to ask him, his team hasn't, the Kings haven't been in a Game 7 in a series since 2002, and to him that's an absurd statistic. So this is how that went.
Daryl, the franchise hasn't played in a Game 7 since 2002.
Pardon?
The franchise hasn't played in a Game 7
since
2002.
Who cares? So should we have a major announcement tomorrow that we haven't played a Game 7?
Just wondering if there was anything actually
no,
you need
not.
To say.
Not really, no.
And then just nothing but just stare off.
He's so good with just letting there be dead air. He loves it.
And love it, too.
And you pointed out that there would be a lot more questions if everybody in the press corps wasn't terrified to cross him because he's just so darned cranky. Now, does he give good inspirational speeches within the locker room? Have you ever seen any tape of him interacting with the players? Because I wonder if it's any different because he clearly doesn't want to be at the post-game press conferences.
He doesn't, but he also does seem to be – he gets him focused. He gets him inspired. I don't know. He's got him ready to go for every situation. And I can't imagine how a guy with this personality does, but he does.
Right, exactly.
So last night was game seven. You lose, your season's over. Sharks, we beat the Sharks 2-1. Mm-hmm. And we scored both goals, two goals in the second period. And then we just hung on for dear life through the end of the game.
13 seconds left in game seven. Now Logan Couture moved off for Thornton by Couture. Played by Kopitar. Caught by Quick on a redirect by Pavelski. Loose along the boards. Back out. Title defense intact. Los Angeles advances to the Western Conference Finals.
So Coach Sutter walked back to the reporters. And I think it's a valid question. Like, what happened in that second period that we got two goals, and in the first period and third period, we couldn't score? Mm-hmm. That's valid.
Okay.
Coach, was there a turning point in the second period that turned it around for you?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Could you elaborate at all? I love how comfortable he is just standing there.
Well, it's so uncomfortable
to watch.
Let's find out if 12 hours later he's got a little more to say on the subject. Coach Daryl Sutter from the Los Angeles Kings joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hi, Coach.
How are you doing, good?
Congratulations on a great series, a hard-fought series, and a terrific win last night. You must be very proud of the guys.
Do you give inspirational speeches in between periods? Because it does seem like if changes need to be made, they are made. And I can't imagine that you use this level of energy to get them where they need to go.
Yeah, I do.
Well, could you... Oh, what's going on there, Coach? Where are you? What's happening?
Nothing.
What's all that? I'm hearing a bunch of noise.
I think it's just crickets.
Yeah, these crickets follow me around. I don't know
why. I see.
Everywhere I go, they seem to be there.
I think they're turning up the microphones in the hopes that you're going to follow up any of your answers with, I don't know, explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think, Coach, look, I know that you're contractually obligated to address the press afterwards, but it's a game that we play because we, newspapers and media, we need things to report on, and that's why we go to you, because we're interested in your insight of the game, and your part of the game is that you're supposed to try to give us something.
Oh, is it?
Well, I mean, that's the
hope. Where's my part of the game, coaching a hockey team?
Well, maybe. Well, obviously, that's first and foremost. The priority. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think
it's obvious. Do you?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
And you do a good job of that.
All right, then.
Do you enjoy the press conferences?
Oh, yeah.
You do enjoy them.
Sure.
Tell us more about that.
What's your favorite part?
Coach?
You know, talking.
Right.
All right, hockey. About hockey, right. Yeah. Let's go back to the inspirational speeches for a moment. What do you use to motivate a group of guys that, for the most part, have already won a Stanley Cup last year? How do you get them, you know, back to that level of play?
I talk to them.
Right. Right. But, I guess I'm asking, what do you say, though? What kinds of things do you say?
Poetry.
Poetry?
Really?
Song lyrics.
Really? Like what? Like, what did you use last night?
Do a little dance.
No, you didn't.
Make a little love.
You didn't use that.
Get down tonight.
You didn't say that to the team.
I did.
Well, it worked.
Yeah.
How did you know that lyric would work?
Everybody likes to get down.
Do you like to get down?
Oh, yeah. I like, you know. The boogie, oogie, oogie. Yeah. I just can't boogie no more.
Clearly. Absolutely. It's obvious. Do you have a preference, Coach Sutter of the Los Angeles Kings throughout the Kevin DeBean Show? Do you have a preference whether the team next plays Detroit or Chicago?
Who cares?
Well, I would think you would. You're the coach of a team that's going to face them.
Not really.
You don't care.
Got to play the games.
Right, we know that.
Uh-huh. Do you?
Well, yeah.
So what?
Okay. Look, we're not trying to be confrontational, Coach. We're just asking you some questions. We're excited about what's happening next.
Make an announcement tomorrow. Oh, they want to play this team instead of that team. So, but if the other team wins, we won't play them. Are we going to play either team?
Yeah.
No matter who wins.
Yes.
So shut up.
Okay. Okay, we're going to let you go.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
That's what you think.
Is that okay?
I'm going to go over there and kick your ass.
Okay.
If you don't get some sort of personal endorsement out of Sober Up after we talk to our next guest, Ralph, there's going to be some trouble, right?
Hey, what about Kevin? The guy should be walking around with an IV of this stuff, just plugged right into his arm.
How dare you?
Well, this is apparently a new hangover remedy, Ralph, that if I'm not mistaken, you tried at Weenie Roast and had great success with, right?
Well, it's more than just hangovers. If you are drinking and you've reached what you feel is your comfortable buzz and you don't want to get any drunker, you can take Sober Up and it will actually maintain your blood alcohol level.
Which is huge.
That's amazing.
If you drink, you realize it doesn't kick in till later, and then you may have already had too much.
Right. And this, also, at least they claim, we'll talk more to the inventor, but it claims that it can actually rapidly reduce your blood alcohol content. So let's say you're trying to get sobered up before you get in your car. This doesn't just make you feel sober. They claim it actually it helps your body metabolize the alcohol so you can get sober faster.
It tastes like ass.
It
but
tastes
if it
like
works.
A ground-up stick.
But if it works, it's worth it.
But that's how you know it's good. Because if it tasted good, I'd be suspect. But something that tastes this bad has to be good for you.
I'm not really under. I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
That guy could use it.
Well, Kevin is trying to keep that that base alcohol level at 2.0 blood alcohol level.
Well,
is what
this
he
will
was,
come so. In handy for
you
him.
You guys realize people are going to think I drink.
What was the thing that part of us?
All right. Well, we'll talk to him coming up after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
Congratulations to Iron Man 3. It is now the fifth top grossing film of all time.
Yay! And it's only been. What?
About a month?
Five weeks?
Yeah.
Wow.
$1.14 billion in box office receipts. So here are your top five money-making films of all time. Iron Man 3 is fifth. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, fourth. The Avengers, third. Titanic, second. And then Avatar with $2.78 billion, number one.
Wow.
Now,
that is almost three times.
Everyone always says, well, what about inflation? And yes, it does cost more to go to a movie now than it did say like 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are nitpicky about that kind of stuff, they have translated the cost of the ticket into modern times. So it does affect greatly the list. Okay. If you adjust for inflation, Titanic's just number five on the list. If you go by pure ticket sales versus money,
right?
Titanic would be fifth. E.T. would be fourth. Sound of Music would be third. Star Wars would be second.
And Little Nicky would be first.
And Little Nicky, yes. Adam Sandler opus. No, still number one. It has been since 1939. Gone with the Wind would be the number one money-making film of all time.
That's most tickets sold then.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow, so that's impressive.
So there's your... Here's
of course, there was no TV then.
Right.
No, so that was your entertainment.
You know? No DVDs, no downloads, no direct,
I imagine it
direct
stayed
review,
in the theaters for a long time.
It did, yeah. A movie, you know, these days, a movie two, 3 months, if you don't catch a movie, it's gone.
Yeah.
Right.
The movie like Gone with the Wind could be in the theater for a year, year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin doesn't like it because it's old.
It's way long.
They said Kate Upton would never be a Victoria's Secret supermodel.
Why would they say that?
Because they're jealous of her.
That's somebody who said her looks were too common or something back at the time,
the,
right?
The stylist for the lingerie retailer publicly said that Kate was too obvious a choice for Victoria's Secret and for their catwalk show. Sophie Neofitu told the New York Times, "We would never use Kate Upton. She's like a footballer's wife." It's a British term for a soccer player's wife. The two blonde hair, the kind of face that anyone with enough money can go out and buy.
Ouch.
Yeah. Saucer of milk over here, please.
I don't know what that means, but it's funny.
You'll see cats like to drink sausage.
Catty reference.
Oh, I see. I got you. Okay. Yeah. Where can Lisa May buy this face, by the way? That's what I want to know.
Well, you'll be happy to know, Kate Upton fans, that she's proving them wrong. She has been tapped to pose for the pages of their latest catalog.
That's what I'm talking about.
I guess she's not that common after all. So good news for Kate Upton fans.
She's also the one Victoria's Secret model that looks like she doesn't need to eat right now.
Yeah. Boy, she's got the build, doesn't she?
Yep.
Keyshawn Johnson's my new favorite football player of all time. He was the one who pursued Justin Bieber in their gated community when Justin was driving his Ferrari at dangerous speeds while kids were playing in the street.
Nice.
Keyshawn saw him whiz by, hopped in his Prius, and hunted him down.
You have to be a real man to pull that off.
He got to Justin's house, he blocked in Bieber's Ferrari, then got out to have a word with Justin. Witnesses say Justin ran inside his house as fast as he could and refused to come out to talk to Keyshawn.
I believe it.
He ran.
Now keep in mind, Keyshawn is 6'4", runs about 215. Justin is 5'7" and 110 pounds.
Justin didn't say, beat the F out of you?
He didn't. No, he didn't pull his badass paparazzi chunk on Keyshawn Johnson. He cowered inside of his house and refused to come out. So, guess we'll have to wait and see how that spins. But
they must hate him in that neighborhood, though. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine? That would be terrible.
Who, Bieber?
Yeah.
It must be a
Especially
constant
if you have
nightmare.
Kids and they're out there, you know, playing in the street or whatever.
Even if he doesn't, you want to hear a Ferrari just gunning that 12-cylinder up and down your neighborhood. You're out there barbecuing or whatever. What a douchebag.
Your banana mobile must make some noise in your neighborhood, though, right, Ralph?
How dare you? First of all, it's orange, my Mustang.
Uh-huh.
And my neighbors do not like when I get up at 4:30 in the morning to come to work, that's for sure. How can you love it? It's crap. But now I got the Tacoma. I'm driving the Toyota truck, so they're much happier. Yeah. I was actually in the pet food store near my house getting some food for Reggie the Wonder Dog. And I was walking in, and a woman came in. She came up to me and said, "Is that your Mustang outside?" And I was like, "Yeah,
the yellow one,
the orange one."
Right.
I said, yeah, that is. And I hear I expected it. She's like, what kind is that? Where did that come? Ooh, yeah. She said, where do you go at 4:30 in the morning?
Oh, my God.
Because I know it can't be work. And I said, well, actually, it is work. And I have to go to work that early in the morning. She goes, well, we all know when you're on your way to work.
Do you have to keep it quiet like planes do? Do you have to just idle to get out of the neighborhood?
It's impossible.
It's impossible. You can't do anything. I throw it into second out of the driveway and just try to get out to Ventura Boulevard as quickly as possible.
Yeah, there's no way you can push it
quietly out of the neighborhood.
when I used to deliver newspapers as a young man, I roll started my car. I had a standard shift. I would roll start out of the street so it didn't start up around all the houses.
Wow. You're nicer than I am.
Well, it's not on a hill.
I'm not roll starting my car.
Yeah.
Everyone can suck it up for 20 seconds and go back to sleep. For F's sake, I'm not. It's 30 seconds from my house to Ventura Boulevard. Seriously. No one. I'm not out there idling in front of their home, blasting Twisted Sister. I'm not partying, people.
I think it's the bright yellow of the car that probably wakes them up.
That's what it is. It's blinding. People think the sun's coming up in their neighborhood. It's just your car.
Already?
All that yellow.
Just jealous.
So a banana mobile.
Should not be spoken of. Today's celebrity birthdays. Daniel Tosh is 38. Melanie Brown of the Spice Girls is also 38. Noel Gallagher of Oasis turns 46. Melissa Etheridge is 52. Rupert Everett. He is 54 years old today. Very talented British actor. Was a heartthrob for a lot of women, despite the fact he is an openly gay actor. And then he had some interesting choices when it came to cosmetic surgery.
Uh-oh.
Bad. You should see him now.
Well, you can because you can't recognize
him. Yeah, now he looks like Dame Helen Mirren. That's the closest person I can think of.
I'm guessing that was not his goal.
I don't know what his goal was, but
it was one of the most one of the biggest disasters of celebrity plastic surgery ever, right, Ralph?
I mean, like reconstructive surgery. It's like totally, he had a horrible accident. And they did the best they could to make him look like a person.
See, let alone right. Witness relocation like. Program.
That's exactly what it looks like. It's nuts.
Yeah, like he was in some horrible chemical burn or something like that. They had to reconstruct his face with the skin from his penis.
He may have been the first celebrity face transplant. That's what we're saying. Not sure. He might have taken it from someone.
He doesn't look the same as he did before the operation.
I'm saying a gang of angry beavers may have chewed his face off.
I think we get it.
And then they had to take a face from another person and put that on him.
So it doesn't look the same as it used to.
Yeah, he looks pretty much the same.
All right.
Annette Benning's 55, LaToya Jackson's 57, and Danny Elfman is 60. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
HBO documentary movie on the Pussy Riot legal case in Russia. Fascinating, fascinating story that is still unfolding as one of the girls in the band is on a hunger strike right now and is in the hospital. We'll talk to the filmmakers of that documentary coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on the Kevin DeBean Show. And Adam Carolla joins us next hour as well.
First, let's talk about Sober Up. This is a product that you can take.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe the hype, will help you sober up.
I like it.
You see the words sober up and you say, how many can I buy, right,
right,
Kevin? I mean, this is made for you.
I instantly say I need to try that. But having said that, there's also the other side of me, which is there seems to be one of these every year that comes out. And right. Usually
they don't really do much.
It doesn't really do much.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this because our man Ralph Garman tried it at the Weenie Roast and said it worked great for him. So we have the man who calls himself the mad scientist behind Sober Up. Anthony Clavien joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Clavien. How are you, sir?
Hi. How's everybody?
Very good. Thank you.
We're doing great. Now, are you actually an in-the-lab kind of guy, putting ingredients together, testing things out? Are you the science guy, or are you the marketing guy, or both, or what?
Kind of a little bit of both, and kind of just learned it on the fly, and one of the things I learned from being, you know, one of the smartest things you can do is find people smarter than you are in anything.
Right.
Learn from them, collaborate. And but this particular product took me about 10 years to develop. And
wow.
I've spent time in Asia, Europe, America, and collaboration of probably 100 different doctors, scientists, and experts in every little field.
Now, when it says utilizing the finest ancient Chinese herbs, roots, and other natural ingredients, that to me means blah, 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 blah. They all say because they all say that.
There's some people that do say that, but there is a lot of truth to that. That's why it said, for instance, when I started this about 10 years ago, and I said I want to create a product that will actually sober you up if you're intoxicated or too far, and I want to do that in 30 to 45 minutes. And even when I was at Harvard speaking with them, they said, you know, that's impossible. And that was the common theme of most Western medicine and Western doctors. And even though their knowledge of the liver is so complex, it also misses a lot of the rudimentary nature of the liver. So I had to go to China, where they have 5,000 years of medical history based off of herbs and roots. And I mean, there's a tremendous amount of knowledge there.
How much of a difference can Sober Up make as far as you're a little too drunk and you don't want to be?
Well, that's probably the product's multidimensional. It can be used in different ways, but if you want to use it for that aspect of it, that's where what we've done has never been done before, definitely not on this level. And if you were to ask most doctors, they'd say no. So I use nanotechnology. So it starts going into the bloodstream the minute it goes in your mouth. Starts working in about 2 minutes, and on average, your reduction is about 40% in the first 10 minutes, 52% in 20, and 63% in 30 minutes.
Now, is this the type of thing, Anthony, that you could literally take a blood alcohol test before you take the pill and then take another one 20 minutes later and see that significance a difference?
In the clinical testing that we've done at all different parts of the world, we used breathalyzer machines and blood tests administered by physicians. One was at University of Beijing, and those tests were actually gone through because BAC is a blood alcohol content, and they measure the ethanol level within the bloodstream.
Okay,
so that's actual what the product's meant to do. Now, it detoxifies you from anything. It doesn't have to just be alcohol. It can be drugs, it can be bacteria, it can be toxins. It basically goes in, puts the liver into a fortified, optimal state, detoxifies you. That was part of the product, was originally developed for hepatitis patients as an all-natural, very strong, effective way to detoxify the liver of the toxins built up in hepatitis. Then the second component is it's a metabolizer, so it's speeding up your metabolization. And then the third component is it's called a neurotropic. And what that is that's it's a type of product, whether it be pharmaceutical or natural, that actually works on the brain. And what our aspect does is it increases neurotransmission and cognitive thought. So
that's what you need, Kevin. You need a little bit more of the brain-heavy aspects of this pill.
That's why I drank it this morning. Hey, I want this to be true so badly, but no product can do all that. It just sounds too good to be true.
Too good to be true?
Well, you know, it pretty much does everything I just said. And the best way to prove it is empirical. You know, Pepsi challenge, if you will. Take the product. You can use it in different ways and see how it lets you feel. our effective rate is super high. Now, that's where nothing is 100%. You know,
of course,
human body and the physiological of all of us is so different. So most effective products, whether it be aspirin that's 56% effective or 5-hour energy that's in the high 60s, anything above 65% is very effective for the public marketplace.
Is a product like this, Anthony, excuse me for interrupting, does a product like this have to get FDA approval in order to be sold in the United States?
No, the way that we've done it is it falls under certain FDA guidelines and rules, and we have to be in an FDA-approved facility, FDA-approved ingredients, and there's a whole series of rules and procedures and standards that you must meet, and then you fall under those guidelines for the FDA, but there's not an actual FDA approval.
So you're not making it in some you know, back alley Chinese cockfighting ring lab or anything like that, right?
There are a lot of those though where they do put out the good drugs.
I just want to make sure it's legitimate guys in white coats, you know, actual real ingredients, all that sort of stuff, right?
It's actually a monkey knife fighting ring.
See, just as bad. Sober Up is the name of the product, by the way. We're talking to the product evangelist, Anthony Klavian, on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How much and where do people buy it, Anthony?
Right now, the product's available online on our website, which is soberup.com. And then this July, August, you'll see the product rolled out in a CVS pharmacy. Mm-hmm. Nationwide, it'll start in the southwest, kind of the west coast where we're based, and then it'll go east. They love the product. They're super excited about it. GNC will be picking up later this summer.
Nice. That's legit.
We're a health wellness product. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're being able to educate the public about, you know, liver health, proper hydration, and that the product can be used, you know, in multi ways. You can use it before you start drinking if you want your tolerance to be higher and maybe if you have a low tolerance to alcohol, like an alcohol allergy. You can take it during if you want to maintain and you're like, okay, I like where I'm at mentally and I don't want to get me more toxic or drunk. You take it afterwards, which is most powerful, which is, you know, sobers you up mentally and physically. I usually take it before I go to bed. You know, it depends on my night. If I want to go out and I like where I'm at or my home and I like my buzz, I'll take it before I go to sleep and I'll wake up the next day completely reset.
All right, Anthony, well, I want this to be true and I love it and I'm going to try it. I do have one question. It's not a deal breaker. If everything you're saying is true, I'm all about it. But does it have to taste like ass? I mean, it really tastes bad.
It's not delicious, right, Kevin?
No.
Yeah, I would say the it doesn't taste good. But it tastes of goodness, and it's a medicine. It's not a sugar product.
But can't you put something in it so that it's?
Yeah, you put vodka in it, Kevin. That's what you put in it. That's how you make it taste good.
I'm just saying, you have some time before it gets into CVS.
but actually, that is a good point because the products you have right now with our first batch that's going up, and our second batch is actually being reflavored by the top flavor experts. Playing the world that are based.
Now we're talking, my lady. Now you get a taste of like cherry. Now you got something. All right. Well, listen, we're out of time. We're going to have to leave it there. SoberUp.com is probably the easiest thing to remember if you want to try some of this online or get more information about the product. We've been talking to Anthony Klavian. Thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
You bet. Big time director and producers in studio right now, Mike Lerner and Maxim Pozdorovkin. I hope I said that right, Maxim, are here from Pussy Riot, A Punk Prayer, which is a new documentary. It was part of the 2013 Sundance Film Festival, and you can see it on HBO on June 10th. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
I think a lot of our listeners have heard the name Pussy Riot. It certainly has been in the news a lot in the last few months, but most people really aren't all that familiar with the details of the story, so maybe a brief overview might be in order here, and also tell us how you guys got involved in and decided to make this a documentary.
Well, Pussy Riot are very often referred to as a band, but they're not quite a band. They're a feminist art collective that takes on the guise of a band and stages guerrilla performances.
In Russia.
Yeah, in various iconic locations in Moscow. And they did some fairly famous performances, but then the biggest one, an event which will probably go down as one of the most famous pieces of performance art in history, was in Russia's main cathedral, for which they were arrested. And Mike and I had been friends, and we're both kind of lefty political gabbers. And so
yeah.
When we, I grew up in Moscow. Yeah. And so,
oh, you did grow up in Moscow?
Yep.
Yeah.
So last February, these pictures began appearing in the British press of these people in these balaclavas, and you just wonder, who are these people? What do they want? And then they get arrested for this action in the cathedral, so we, as filmmakers, instinctively felt this was going to be an interesting story, and we went out to Moscow and started following the trial, essentially, which was over the last summer, and we follow events up to the verdict, which is last October.
The trial, yeah. I watched most of it. I didn't get time to finish it, but I watched most of it. And the trial in Russia is not exactly the same as the trial here, where you get
more cages.
An aggressive, yeah, they're in cages, first of all.
Jeez, really?
Yes.
You didn't see an aggressive defense, Kevin? Is that what you were going to say?
There's not much of a defense.
There wasn't a chance in hell they weren't going to be guilty.
The judge really has no time for anything except for, I'm sorry I did it.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, I mean, they get to speak a lot more than they probably would here. I mean, that was one of the blessings for us, is that you could make a film where the three main women actually do speak a lot during their trial.
And but it makes no difference.
Yeah, it makes zero difference, let's be honest.
Yeah, 99% of people that go through Russian courts are found guilty, so you've got a 1% chance of getting off.
Wow.
I mean, the situation in this country isn't that much different, but...
the judge does say to them, though, in a leading question way, are you pleading guilty? And then they go, no, I'm not. And then she asks the next person, are you pleading guilty? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. I mean, it's a very archaic system, and obviously this trial itself was a very strange and surreal thing to happen. And I think, you know, there's a kind of look of disbelief on these three women's faces throughout the whole process that they can't really understand, what's happening here.
Well, let's talk about that arrest for a second here, Mike, because I'm a little bit confused by this. So they go into a church and they put on a rock performance, basically, and anti-government lyrics in their songs. Is that what they were trying to accomplish that day?
I mean, they were really protesting about the relationship between the government and the church. The patriarch, the Russian Pope Kirill, said that Putin's re-election was a miracle, and the Orthodox very much side with Putin, and they were protesting about that relationship, and
so they're not just together on things; they are one, basically.
Yeah, and also Putin in the picture
and the church.
I think that Putin has supported the church a bit, and there's been, because so many churches were destroyed, there was a lot of rebuilding of churches and over the last 10 or 15 years. But also, it should say that they go to these places and they film themselves and they jump around. They don't really perform in the place, and then they put the video. You know, they're essentially media artists, and then they upload a video to YouTube, and it went viral, this one, causing a lot of controversy.
What is it they were arrested for?
They were basically, what they're charged with was hooliganism motivated by religious hatred, which is basically a hate crime. So it's the same charge that you would be charged for burning a cross on someone's lawn.
I see.
But hooliganism is not really a word here that is thrown around much.
Except in soccer. but it was a major thing, in former Soviet countries. It was something that people were punished for stepping out of line very commonly. So it's in Europe, it's used a lot more.
And they're feminists, and they talk a lot about not liking Putin and everybody up. They use the word uprising, and they use the word riot a lot. And so they've made everybody nervous, right?
I mean, it's the story of a foiled feminist revolution, essentially. They're very, they have very serious political convictions, and they're serious activists and serious political thinkers. And so.
I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, what's interesting is what they didn't get arrested for. They staged this action whereby they basically staged an orgy in the biology museum in Moscow, and for that they get a $15 fine. I think if you did that if LA's got a biology museum, but if you stage an orgy in it, you'd probably run into some...
A literal orgy, too, and they show it, and they really only got a little fine?
Mm. Yeah.
That's it.
So that's strange.
Would you get arrested for the same protest in a United States church, do you think? I think they might get you for trespassing if you didn't leave when you were asked to, right? But beyond that, would we arrest you here for that?
Probably not. I mean, it depends. I think a lot of people in Russia make the famous argument against them is that if they went into a mosque, they would be killed. But who knows if that's true. But it depends on the church. I think if you go in the Bible Belt and do something like that, I think you probably your charges would eventually be dropped. So it's hard to.
Yeah.
Right. Many more questions about this. I mean, Paul McCartney has entered into the narrative of this story recently. There's a hunger strike that's going on. Of course, international attention to the trial. There's a lot of people who are
basically petitioning the Russian government to please let these ladies out. We'll find out more about where the case is now and what's likely to happen next with our guests Mike Lerner and Maxim Pozdorovkin are here, directors and producers of the film called Pussy Riot, A Punk Prayer. You can see it on HBO as part of their new summer documentary series. That's going to be on Monday night, June 10th. More in a moment after this on The Kevin and Bean Show.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Dad puke? That's what this show's all about.
Unfortunately, that's true. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:37.
All right, I'm going to try to say these names one more time. Mike Lerner, that one I've got, and Maxim Pozdorovkin. Is that close, Max?
No, oh, you're thank very you. Good. It's very phonetic.
I would like Bean to say the names of the members of the girls that are in prison.
No. I can't do that. I can't name the Pussy Riot girls. I'm sorry. The film we're discussing here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning is Pussy Riot, A Punk Prayer. It is a documentary debuting on HBO on Monday night, June 10th at 9. It's a fascinating story. Okay, so they go to court, and as we discussed in the last segment, it didn't necessarily go that way, and they were convicted and sentenced to what, guys?
2 years in prison, and then one of them was released on appeal a month or so afterwards.
Okay, so there are only two members of Pussy Riot in jail now?
That's right.
Okay, and how's that going for them? How long have they been in there now?
Well, they've been, they were arrested last March, and then for the first 7 months, they were in kind of pretrial detention in Moscow. And now they've been separated, and so they're in labor camps. And as you would expect, it's been very hard for them.
Describe labor camps, if you don't mind. I've only seen stuff on TV. I have no idea how accurate it is.
Well, they're kind of work camps. So, in other words, you learn sewing, and you have to go to basic community college while there, and you're encouraged to participate in all things like beauty contests and
really?
Oh, they refuse to do. No, one of the things when Nadia, one of the members of a group, recently, she had a parole hearing, and the jail didn't recommend her being released early, and the ground was that she as a feminist, refused to participate in a Miss Charming beauty pageant.
Wow. They have a Miss Charming beauty pageant in prison for prisoners.
Yeah.
That sounds like another documentary, you guys.
Miss Charming.
There is actually several documentaries about prison beauty pageants, which are great.
What? Wow. Bizarre.
One of the members of Pussy Riot is very pretty, too, right?
That's the one who refused to participate.
That's the one, huh? Wow. Okay, so were they aware at the time of the trial? I don't know. I have such old stereotype TV versions of what it's like in Russia. But were they aware of the international interest in the case and how many people around the world were, doing everything they could to petition the judge in that case to let him free?
Yeah, they were. I mean, they obviously in touch with family and lawyers, etc., and they were very obviously much supported and encouraged by all this international support, and very thrilled when Madonna was in Moscow and gave a 10-minute speech in their favour and wrote Pussy Riot on her back and sang like a virgin, I think it was, with the balaclava on. So, that it means a lot to them. But, just to say that Masha is actually the other woman that's in prison is currently on hunger strike, although we've just had a note that she may be ending it because she's protesting against certain conditions in the camp. So, they're having a pretty tough time, and beauty pageants aside, it's, they have very infrequent contact with their two young children. Masha's got a young son, and Nadia's got a young daughter, and obviously that's very hard on them. And, they're in all likelihood there till next March. So.
Does 2 years mean 2 years?
Yeah. I mean, they had these appeals, but each time they find spurious reasons to not give them
Really appeals. They're just you can have your day in court, but we already have our minds made up.
Well, it's tough to say because technically for, just like any kind of parole hearing, you have to admit your guilt, basically, and say you've learned your lesson, and that's what they refuse
They're
to
not going
to
do that.
Yeah, now, the whole thing with the trial is that, they didn't necessarily mean to offend people, but for them it's about standing up for the principle that they had the right to do it. And so they're, even during the trial, you see this in the film a little bit, they're caught between this.
But let me just ask this. Did they have the right to do it?
I think that's a very serious question. I don't think that it's...
I think they have the right to protest. I think they have the right to express their views. And, we don't support freedom of speech for things we agree with.
Do they have the same... I'm guessing the government doesn't give them the same freedoms that we have. So.
Well, the government had to bring in trumped up charges to sort of stop them doing what they were doing. They didn't break any law as such. They had to, accuse them of this hooliganism and this intent to cause, religious insult, which you know, it was not their intention, you know. So
had they not done it in the church with the...
No. I mean, they've done lots of things outside and didn't get, you know, they had some small fine for that. So if it had been outside the church, nothing would happen. So I think here it was seen more okay because it was, you know, you could kind of introduce a sort of trespassing thing into it
right.
as well.
What is the popular opinion on the streets in Russia about these girls?
I think that most people in Russia don't support them, but I think that opinion is shifting a little bit. They were really vilified by national television. I think the whole story, and that's one of the things that we try to show in the film, is that one of the major catalysts behind the story was the Patriarch Kirill, who's the head of an Orthodox church in Russia. And he really trumped up this public fervor and fundamentalist fervor against them and got nearly 100,000 people to protest against them in the middle of Moscow.
And I saw some of the interviews, and I was shocked by all the people who were coming out against them because they were doing this travesty against their church. Those were the people?
They were offended in many ways because they were told to be offended. In a way, Kirill drove this and said the church has been offended and insulted, and these women have blasphemed, and we are not going to let this stand. I mean, you know, because if you really look in detail at what they were singing, for only 40 seconds in this church before they were stopped. You know, it's not a direct attack on religion. It is this attack on the relationship between Putin and the church. Yeah. So I think people, you know, as I say, were offended because they were told to be offended in large number, you know.
And I mean, Russia, when it was presented on television, that was the other thing, is that people didn't really know the song or what they were telling. So the focus went on the fact that they trespassed this place near the altar where women aren't allowed to go and aren't allowed to, or no one's allowed to enter other than the patriarch. So I think that the story was spun in that way and away from what
they were trying to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maxim, you grew up in Moscow. Has Russia changed a lot as we're into the, you know, well in the 21st century now? Is it a different place than when you were a boy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's transformed completely. I mean, even just the skyline outside of an apartment where I grew up, I mean, it's all high rises. It's kind of this hyper-capitalist dystopia right now. And in a way, I think that the members of Pussy Riot are the first kind of genuinely left-leaning generation to come about after, you know, the 90s were so horrendous economically in Russia.
And, right.
You know, something like 18 times worse than the Great Depression. And so, people coming out of that, yes, it's changed completely. I mean, people are better off financially, but it's also, right now, it's having certain regressive tendencies as well.
Last question for you, because unfortunately we're out of time. Does the government of Russia, when they get this, these appeals? I mean, maybe they don't care what Paul McCartney thinks when he writes a letter, as he did a few days ago. But when when our governments go to them and go, "Hey, cut these girls some slack," does that make any influence at all, or are they pretty much staying true to their own course over there?
I think in some ways it makes it worse. I mean, this whole Pussy Riot story by the Kremlin has been spun as a Western plot to undermine Russia. So I think any voices coming of support outside, I think, if anything, make them more
It reinforces
determined.
Their
yeah,
point.
I mean, it certainly doesn't wow. have the opposite effect, you know.
Wow. Well, it's a fascinating
Way
story.
Way to go, Paul McCartney.
We've just been able to scratch the surface of this fascinating story, and I know you get a chance to go much more in-depth in the film. It is called Pussy Riot, A Punk Prayer. And again, it's going to be airing Monday night, June 10th on HBO. It's the first of an all-summer-long documentary series on HBO, which just sounds fascinating. This is a lot of fun to talk to you guys, and we're really looking forward to the film. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Got a big 9 o'clock hour planned for you. Adam Carolla is going to be joining us. And then Ralph has a super-secret guest that we're not supposed to know about
That's
coming up.
That's right.
After Adam Carolla. I don't know what that's about.
I am uncomfortable with your excitement.
Well, yeah. You don't worry about it.
When you're excited about something this much, Bean and I get scared.
It's going to please a large segment of our listening audience that has not been serviced properly.
Will it please either Bean or myself?
That, as always, is at the bottom of the list of my concerns.
I just feel that if it were a great guest, if it were exciting news, you would be sharing it. You would be promoting it.
They are, and it is.
Plus, we'll sign you up for K-Rock's Festival Flyaway Destination Number 2, which is the Rock Werchter Festival in Brussels, Belgium, with 30 Seconds to Mars, that band we just heard. Also, Phoenix, Depeche Mode, Blur, Green Day, and more. That'll be in about 15 minutes. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Very excited about the upcoming break.
All right.
Very, very good.
That makes me more scared.
Hey, I want to give everybody a big shout-out of gratitude to those listeners who sold out Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith last week at the Hollywood Improv, our brand-new home.
Fantastic.
First show in the new home.
And we sold it out. It was an amazing evening. We had a great time. We talked about Helen Mirren being a bad person and about drowning dogs and stuff. You got to listen to the
wow,
podcast.
I really appreciate it.
Did Helen Mirren drown a dog?
No, they're separate stories. But it was theme of the evening.
When Ralph drinks, they tend to get
together. We do ramble a little bit. Anyway, we're doing it again this Friday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. We'd love to have you come out and see us. I think they're telling us we're close to sold out again, so you may want to get your tickets sooner than later. But you can go to, of course, the improv.com website, or you can go to csmod.com and get your tickets through there.
It's wild, bro.
It is wild. It's a wild Friday at 10.
Yep.
Congratulations to HBO. Their movie on Sunday night, Behind the Candelabra, picked up 3.5 million viewers. It was the most watched premiere for a HBO film since 2004.
The worst episode ever.
Best episode ever. I never thought a film about Liberace and his lover, Scott Thorson, could be as wildly entertaining as that film was, but it was pretty great. Kevin, you have not seen it yet, right?
I have not, no.
Yeah.
My wife saw it, though, and she loved it.
Be forewarned.
Uh-huh.
As you can expect, it is a movie about two men, a relationship between two men.
Right.
And I know sometimes that particular type of sexuality makes you a little uneasy.
How great is male ass?
There is a, I wouldn't say enormous amount of, but there is a sprinkling of man ass throughout the film that I think, you know, you would expect of a film of this nature.
Well, it has the same level of
sausage.
It has the same level of sexuality as a movie about a long-term heterosexual couple would.
That's right.
So record
on HBO.
Record it. And then fast forward. That's what you're saying.
No, that's what I'm saying at all. It's all part of the film. Enjoy is what I'm saying.
But here's why I am recommending it to Kevin and to other people who think they don't care. Is there's no one like Liberace today, and it's fascinating to see that kind of Hollywood star that just doesn't exist anymore, who's just crazy, opulent, and eccentric.
Yes. And that gay and have such a large female fan base who refuses to believe that he's gay.
Oh, they didn't believe he was gay?
No.
What?
Mm-mm. His hardcore fans would have fought you to the death over the fact whether he was gay
Are
or not.
Are you kidding?
He was just a committed bachelor who just hadn't found the right woman
Wasn't
yet.
Wasn't he maybe the gayest man ever alive? I mean, really? He didn't try and hide it?
I haven't been to the gay-off finals yet, but
I'm saying. But
he was very showy.
In a day when no one was coming out and saying that, he was super flamboyant.
But he never said it. He would just say there was just showmanship. He'd come out in the sequins and the feathers and the, you know, and the capes and that kind of stuff, but he just said that he had never found the right woman.
But I think Kevin's right, though. When you see a man on stage with that many diamonds and that toupee and the 60-foot trail of fur hanging off of his body. There's no straight guy ever who has dressed like that.
Look.
Remember the times that this was in.
Yeah, that's true.
It just wasn't, it was beyond anyone's imagination. You know, no one was out back then, yeah. And everyone was denying it, so everyone just played along. I mean, they would say that Elton John was straight.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury, no one ever talked about
at him. At the time, you're right, yeah.
It's just, it was unheard of.
I looked it up, Kevin is right. He was the gayest man in the world.
No, did he win the award?
1956 through 61, oh, 5 years
great.
In a row.
Wow.
He swept that.
He's defending champ. That's terrific. Yeah, good for him. And you think Scarlett Johansson, you think she's a badass. She's out there kicking ass, fighting people with S.H.I.E.L.D. and the rest of the Avengers. She is currently filming the new Captain America movie, and she is not as tough as perhaps her character, the Black Widow, would have you believe.
Uh-oh, why?
She was in a porta-potty on the set, and apparently a cockroach fell from the ceiling onto her while she was going to the bathroom. Sources on the set said all you heard was screaming, yelling, and you would just see the porta-potty rocking back and forth until she burst through the door. Apparently the lock on the door was broken, so she couldn't get out as the cockroach was crawling on her.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
And she was shrieking like a chick. After she finally got out, she demanded from producers a private, bug-free porta potty, and apparently they
to get stuck
they
in there.
Gave her what she needed.
That's awesome.
I'd like to give her what she needs, Sharon. You know, Sharon?
No.
No. What do you mean, Ralph?
I'd like to give her a bug-free porta potty.
Yep.
I think she's already got one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Never mind then. Today's celebrity birthday is Daniel Tosh. Is 38 years old. As is Melanie Brown of the Spice Girls. Noel Gallagher, by the way, if a cockroach fell on me when I was in a porta potty, I'd start screaming and kicking at the
That's
door,
what
too.
I, yeah.
Noel Gallagher is 46. Melissa Etheridge is 52. Rupert Everett is 54 years old. Annette Bening turns 55. LaToya Jackson, perhaps the least talented of all the Jacksons.
Craziest, too.
57 years old today. And composer Danny Elfman celebrates his 60th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Getting a little bit nervous about Ralph's mystery guest in about 10 minutes. I mean, last week he brought us Judy Greer, though, and that worked out great. We were excited to talk to her about Arrested Development, but I don't know what he's got this time.
Once he starts teasing ahead of time,
yeah.
I know, it makes me nervous. Our friend Adam Carolla is all over the place. You get lots of chances to see the Ace Man. Tonight he is going to be back at the Amalfi Restaurant on North La Brea in Los Angeles with special guest Kevin, Andrew Dice Clay, joining the Ace Man tonight.
What?
How about that? Tickets available, first-come, first-served basis, includes a glass of complimentary Mangria. Doors open at 5:30. Show starts at 7. That's tonight. Get those details at adamcarolla.com. And the next Tuesday on stage at the Ice House in Pasadena with special guest Joe Coy. Hey, Ace Man, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Good to be back. Get it on, baby.
Get it on, indeed. Hey, unless this is in your top three, I just wanted to get the quick 15-second review, because I know on your podcast, your VPN show last night, you were talking about the Behind the Candelabra. You watched that. We were just talking about it here on the Kevin and Bean Show, too. What'd you think of that, Adam?
I thought it was amazing, and it's weird. I was probably more involved with it than I'd like to admit. I didn't think, I was like, how is Matt Damon going to pull off 19 and how is Michael Douglas going to pull off Alive? And yes, there they were in a hot tub for, you know, only about 87 minutes of the running time.
It was definitely some remarkable acting. We can't recommend that enough to check that one out on HBO. All right, Adam joins us once a week on the Kevin and Bean Show.
The greatest time ever, by the way, at least at the beginning, when they were just drinking champagne and doing coke and smoking cigarettes all the time.
Yeah.
That time, I've said it a million times, pre-AIDS, mid-coke was the greatest time ever.
Yeah, it was when America peaked.
You put on a fur coat and some asswipe from PETA throws red dye on you. You light up a cigarette and you'll be arrested and dragged out of the restaurant. Back then, it's all fur coats and smoking. It's amazing more people didn't catch on fire.
It was certainly a wonderful time to live. All right, every week, Adam joins us at this time for a feature we like to call This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
I'll start with three and working my way up to number one. I hope you guys are on board with this, because I think I have a breakthrough here. Our society's completely falling apart. I've stepped in gum yesterday. I was in the middle of cleaning the gum out of my tennis shoes that I'd stepped in earlier in the month, and I stepped in more gum. I see snot rockets above the urinals in the bathroom. You know, it's a sea of cigarette butts and guys throwing diapers on the ground at the Costco parking lot and everything. It's off. I mean, it's officially on, right?
We're living in a cesspool.
We're living in a cesspool. No one gives a crap anymore. There's no more decorum. Here's what I need. And I think this is going to clean up this one horse town very easily in all of society.
All right.
When you are born, we get a DNA swab from you, and it goes into a data bank. And then, when I step in said gum, I just call the guys up, and we match it to the person, and you get a little something in the mail.
That's great.
Gum kept in mouth. You want to fire a snot rocket in the urinal, you want to throw the cigarette butt, you want to dump the diaper, you want to do whatever it is you want to do, go ahead. But you will receive something in the mail.
Okay.
Because we have a DNA database.
Boom.
And it's not, look, if you... It's fine. If you decide to rape someone, it'll be there for that, too. But I'm working big to small here.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, you want to commit a violent crime? We'll have that, too. But I want to do it to keep all the crap that's accumulating, all the garbage that's thrown, the fast food. People take half a bite of hot dog and just, like, chuck it out the window and stuff. I want it all cleaned up, all the soda cans, all the junk that's tossed everywhere. Pull the DNA. Goes right into the data bank. You just get a fine in the mail.
And think of all the jobs you create with the thousands of people that have to be hired to work at the DNA testing labs.
It's going
to
be awesome. It'll be a utopia, a squeaky clean utopia.
What do you do, Harvey? I'm on the gum squad.
you did say gum, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but there's another squad, too, that rhymes with that. And that's for the... That's
can't
what we
say
call
that.
Short straw detail right there.
Yes. Exactly.
All right. Number two, speaking of Liberace and the candelabra and all the piano stuff, It struck me that piano guys are the only guys who play an instrument and then they have to advertise. You know, if you play the piano, you need a scarf that has the keyboard laid out on it so you can hang it around your shoulders, and then you have to have a swimming pool shaped like a piano.
Right. The limo?
Elton John, what's his show in Vegas called? The Million Dollar Piano.
Yeah, it's true.
Like someone's confused. Elton John? What, I know he's a musician. What's he on, the Glockenspiel, he says? What's he got going? Oh, the piano. Billy Joel writes a song. I'll call it the Piano Man. That's me. Well, name it after me. What is up with you? Yes, you play the piano. Everyone plays the piano. Guys who play the banjo or the oboe, don't go around. Nobody has a swimming pool shaped like an oboe unless it's a lap pool, and then everyone has. So you know what I'm saying.
Right, sure. Right. I get the point.
We
right.
get it. Yes, Liberace, you play the piano. We know you play the piano. Why is everything in your house shaped like a piano?
They did, and you saw in that movie, they had a car that had the keys of a piano painted on the side of the car that they were driving, too.
Right. Now, here's the deal. There's a lot of guys who do play the piano who we don't know who play the piano who should drive the piano-mobile. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
The guy in Fits in the Tantrums. Would we recognize him in an airport? No, he needs to be picked up in the piano-mobile. Liberace, well aware of the fact that you, Elton John, acutely aware
Got
of
it.
You and your love of the piano.
Right.
Noted.
Yeah, noted.
All right.
All right. So I'm just saying, everybody who plays other instruments, don't. I don't live in a huge, you know, Ginger Baker doesn't live in a house shaped as a snare drum. Thank you. Timely reference.
I'm going to look that up later.
Yeah. Did he do drum? Was he the drummer for Cream? All right, we'll have to work that out. Anyway, now something I'm really mad at. All nature.
Right. Nature.
You guys, you must go Bean. You got to feel my pain on this one.
What's
I got
going on?
I got an apricot tree in my backyard. But
that sounds
but
terrible.
I have no hold
oh,
on.
That's not the part. Okay.
I have the same thing with the nectarine tree and all the trees that bear all the good fruit. The lemon tree, they just keep coming year round. No big deal. No one wants a lemon. But the good stuff, like the apricot, it is nothing. It looks like a dead bush for 11 and a half months, and then all of a sudden, 200,000 apricots, and then they're gone. And then I go into panic mode. Someone's got to eat these apricots. Those squirrels are getting diabetes over there, eating all these apricots. We got to make a move on the apricots. So I start piling up the apricots and collecting the apricots. I now have trash cans filled with apricots. I don't know what to do with them, so I try to give them out to everybody. No one really wants them.
Well, you're handing them to them out of a trash can.
Well, it's a hopper. I call it a hopper. The point is this. I would like an apricot tree that gave me like 15, 20 apricots a month all year, not 1 million in a two-week period. Where I never want to see another apricot. They're all over the ground. I don't know what to do with them. And then I get mad. I get mad at my wife.
Why?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because if this was 100 years ago, I would have 275 jars of apricot jelly.
Ah, right.
They would put it up. We'd have a basement. We'd have like a root cellar. Right. You'd be using paraffin or something. Something would be done with these apricots. You'd be baking it into pie. I'd be using it as a water-soluble lube when we made love. There'd be something done with these apricots. I don't know what to do, but if anyone wants any, come on by, because there's 2 weeks of apricots, then they're gone for another 11 and a half months.
You can just find those in the trash can out back of Adam's house. Go to AdamCarolla.com.
Super fat squirrels.
See the man on stage tonight with special guest Andrew Dice Clay. That's at the Amalfi Restaurant. Again, AdamCarolla.com. And then next Tuesday with special guest Joe Coy on stage at the Ice House in Pasadena. IceHouseComedy.com. Thanks, Adam. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. I'm a little bit nervous. Ralph Garman will not tell us who is on the phone. I see someone is, but you have a surprise guest for us.
I have a reason now to come to work each week.
Oh.
I have discovered a reason, because every once in a while when this show is on the air and I talk about it a little bit, mm-hmm. I get such an enormous outpouring of support and appreciation from our listeners, people demanding more.
So there's a television show, in other words, that you enjoy that we're not covering properly on the show.
It's just come back. It was had the premiere episode on Monday night on Memorial Day evening, and it was so awesome. And it's such a big show. It's such an enormous part of American pop culture that I cannot merely talk about it on my own.
Okay.
So I have to bring in my special guest, who is equally passionate about this and is equally informed about it, and I think the two of us will make
quite the pair.
Is this something that Bean and I will enjoy?
Absolutely. How could you not enjoy a Bachelor update with me and Petros Papadakis, ladies and gentlemen? Petros?
Are you ready to fall in love?
Oh, more than ever, P.
Oh,
more
God.
Than ever.
How? No, why is no, this happening?
Every
no.
week, Petros and I
no,
will
not
take
every week.
At the Bachelorette, and we will recap the episode for you. So much so that I thought, since it's going to be a weekly segment now, that we'd have Omar do one of his famous intros for it. I haven't heard it yet, but he said he put something together. You want to hear it?
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man. With Petros Papadakis, so he's holding hands, kissing and hugging at sunset, watching the Bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show? It both sucks and blows, all right, but all you right. watch it without any regret. Here's the update
about the Bachelorette.
That may not be our regular theme.
Yeah, because there's not going to be a regular feature to have a theme for.
P, let me ask you.
No. It's every week, guys. I'm coming in every week.
P, let me ask you this. Dez, last night, the Bachelorette, on Monday night, rather, the most adorable Bachelorette in the show's history?
You know, Ralph, I'm not sure. Something's wrong with her face.
What? How dare you?
I just got to say, I thought she looked better when she was with Sean, you know, the Sean Lowe season, the
sure,
Bachelor.
Sure.
And I liked she had a little more pudginess to her face. She's kind of skinny and gaunt like a praying mantis right now, but she looks all right.
But
yeah,
when
she looks pretty good.
When she was skating there on Venice, on the Venice boardwalk, in those little short shorts with her butt and everything, come on.
Yes. She looks pretty good, Ralph, but I don't like her storyline where she talks about how she used to be homeless like she's Jewel, you know? She kind of hangs on to that a little hard.
She does talk about living in a van a lot.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
Now, let me ask a Bachelorette 101 question, boys, and I'm going to pretend to care here just for a very limited amount of time, and that is, the Bachelorette is somebody who wasn't good enough to be selected by the Bachelor as the winner, right? This is a reject. This is a toss-off who then gets her own show. Is that how this works?
Well, she begged. I mean, when Sean Lowe tried to send her home, she begged. She said, "You're making a big mistake." Yeah. She cried. She said, "Don't send me home.
Please don't let me go."
America's heart went out, Ralph. I mean,
I think she was America's pick. I mean, I think of everyone, that was the girl we wanted Sean to end up with.
Yeah, and now she's got a house full of tools, a giant toolbox that they emptied out on Monday night, a bunch of dudes that are going to vie for her attention. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great run, guys. I can't wait to be with you all summer talking Bachelorette.
Let's talk about some of the incredible goobers that they put in front of her last night. I've never seen a bigger collection of douchebags.
Well, there was the guy that showed up shirtless.
Yes.
Never put a shirt on all night.
The whole night, he's walking around with his shirt off, talking about his abs.
So right. Let me just butt in. This is a new feature on Hollywood Babylon?
Everyone else is in a suit. This guy has got no shirt on. Zach, his name is. Will you accept these abs, he said.
Petros and Money are going to be doing this on their show every week, and you want us to tune in to hear it there?
And let's not
forget. We do that already, but now it's coming to your show.
Let's not forget about Nick, the magician/tailor. Who also was in the lineup last night.
Because what woman does not want to be a magician's assistant?
That's right. How about Jogo, who showed up in the suit of armor?
Yeah, and he said he could barely get out of the car, and when she sent Diogo home, he said that he has an explosion of love for someone.
That's right, man.
How about the guy who tried to get her into bed during the first cocktail party?
He tried to take her to the fantasy suite, and he got ejected. Ralph, what about the hashtag guy that puts a hashtag on everything he says?
Casey, who works in social media, I kid you not, guys, sprinkles every conversation he has with hashtag something.
F-M. Hashtag douche.
And Ralph, what about the guy that invented the spinning pointy sign that barely employed people spin on the corner? That guy.
What's the point of this story?
He's here. Trying for this woman's affection.
And how many cockeyed guys are in the group? I'm saying at least two guys have crossed eyes.
There's at least two lazy eyes, which would make two guys, correct?
That's right. Yes.
What's happening?
It's the greatest segment your show's ever had, you idiot.
And she's supposed to find love in this group of just rejects.
Let's back up, though. No one on this planet believes that she's really supposed to find love
TV
show.
Oh, there's not children that have been made in the wombs of bachelorettes
Boom.
And bachelorette contestants.
Boom.
I'm not saying you can't get pregnant.
Their marriages, Kevin, have sprung
marriages,
from this show.
Lives, families.
Hashtag
legacy,
romance. Destinies. Hashtag romance. Hashtag marriage material.
Hashtag do this on your own time on the phone.
How dare you, sir.
Drew,
yeah,
Drew brought a wishbone.
Drew brought a wishbone with him, and it made her crack the wishbone when they first met.
Yeah, to make a wish for love.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hashtag fail.
Well, I'm
hashtag fail on this whole segment.
I am sorry that I missed it, but this was a one-time show, The Bachelorette, that was just on Monday night, and now we've covered it, and we're done for another season, right?
No, it's every week, and I'm coming up into the studio next week.
Petros, we'll talk to you next season about...
No, this segment has been such a success that I'm going to get in my Chevy Malibu and take it up the 110 North next week on Tuesday.
What are you basing the success of this on?
Unfortunately, we won't have a chance to talk about Jonathan, who did try to get her into the fantasy suite and talked about how full his love tank was.
Is he trying to empty it on
She
her?
Made What's him go like? Home during the party. She didn't even wait for the ceremony where she rejects guys. She said, you just need to go home right now with your full love tank.
Look, I love you,
Before
Petros.
It gets emptied.
Yes. I love you, Petros. I really do. But please don't drag us in this direction. It's tough enough fending Ralph off week after week on The Bachelorette, okay? Please don't help. Don't contribute to the problem, son.
Kicking and don't you sun me. Kicking and screaming, you'll be dragged into this.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
This is one of the most beautiful and meaningful shows on television for 18 seasons. For 18 seasons.
We'll talk to you next season, Petros. It was great to have you on today.
Hashtag next week, Pete, you and me.
Hashtag.
Bite me.
I love you.
Basking the awesomeness of The Bachelorette. That's why.
That's what was
you
happening.
Were distracted.
Yeah.
That does sound like a terrible slash pretty awesome show, Ralph.
Wait till the guy with the abs with no shirt on decided to jump in the pool and then said, all right, who else is coming in? Everybody just turned their back and slowly walked away from the pool.
All right. It's a Wednesday morning on the Kevin Amin Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Time for one final look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Erock Leo Menarca.
Before I get to the beat, how about some tickets to see a movie that looks awesome! It's called This Is the End.
Yay!
Stars James Franco, Jonah Hill, Seth Rogen, Danny McBride, Craig Robinson, Michael Cera.
Wow.
You name them. They're there. They're all playing themselves at a party at James Franco's house when the world just happens to end. Then what do they do? What are they going to do now? Well, I don't know. Go see the damn movie. Am I supposed to do everything for you? Sorry, I got off track. You want to see the premiere, the L.A. premiere of This Is the End? It happens on Monday, June the 3rd at the Regency Village Theater in beautiful Westwood, California. Here is what you do. You call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that number get a pair of passes, and you get to see it before everybody else. The movie's in theaters on Wednesday, June the 12th. But by June 12th, you were like, oh, really? You're just talking about This Is the End? I saw it like 10 days ago. Hello? Hashtag late. That's what you'll be saying.
Hashtag stop using hashtag.
It's become a bit of a social nuisance now, the hashtag.
Yes, it has.
Yes.
Not just a bit.
I'm with you.
It's a huge problem.
Or a plague. Maybe plague is what I meant to say. Anyway, I'm going to see This Is the End today, by the way, so I'll let you know what it's
fantastic.
Like. Yeah, I'm going to go check it out. You coming with me, Lisa?
I am.
Yeah, I'm going to get some.
We won't know anything about the movie, but
man,
it'll
Lisa,
be a good day.
That's right. We'll be in the back row. Back row of the screening.
Do the thing with the thumb.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. No,
there
not
it
now.
Is.
Yeah,
there
that's
it
right.
Is.
Not now. Lisa's getting the thumb. Oh, Adam Levine. Poor guy.
What?
You know him. You know Adam Levine.
Maroon 5.
Lead singer of Maroon 5.
Right.
You love him. I know you love him. I remember you asked everyone to give some love to Maroon 5. Remember back in the day?
I don't remember that at all.
No, there wasn't. You were at the Grammys.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
And you asked us all to give love to Maroon 5.
Ralph came to me and said, why do you do that? You don't like any of the bands you're talking about.
Everything you say on that show is a lie. Why do you continue to do it? He's like, yeah, good point. He's on the coach. He's one of the coaches on The Voice.
Right.
Not on The Coach. That'd be a different show.
Yeah.
And I think he's very likable in that show.
Sure.
The times I've watched it, I think he's actually helps the people develop their talents. And
he also seems to be not there for the paycheck. I mean, of course he is. But, I mean, he genuinely seems to be enthusiastic about the performers and invested in his team. And I think he's a real good judge.
He's passionate about the people that he mentors on that show. That's why he was so upset when two of his contestants from Team Adam were voted off. Judith Hill and Sarah Simmons were voted off. While a country singer named Amber Carrington was saved by the popular vote of the listening of the viewing audience. Okay. That's how it happens. You get to, I think the judges also get to save somebody, but they take the call-in viewer vote, and that's how people are determined who sticks around.
They can only save one, the viewers?
I believe so.
Okay.
So his people got the boot. Meanwhile, this country singer, who I think was on Team Blake or whatever that guy is on the end there,
sure,
was saved. So his mic is up. And while it happens, he's like grumbling. And he goes, ugh, I hate this country. Well, in any other world.
Oh, dear God.
At any other time in our nation's history, people would say, oh, well, he's really upset. But no.
He's frustrated because the people voted and he disagreed with their choice.
The people of the country of America called in and voted for the participant they wanted to see go on. They were not his friends and students. So he was frustrated, and because out of that frustration, he said in a joking manner, oh, I hate this country, meaning he was upset with the way they voted for The Voice.
Now, how else could that be misinterpreted, Ralph?
Well, Bean, some people,
easily,
like those in an enormous Twitter backlash that are calling for him to be fired from the show,
yep,
are saying he is not patriotic. That he hates the United States of America, well, then he should get thrown off the show and should leave this country because he doesn't love it the way I love it, the way my dog loves it, the way my pickup truck loves it, the way my gun rack loves it.
He was talking about The Voice. Shut the F up.
I am going to lose it with these people.
Look, he didn't say that the vote sexually assaulted the singer.
That's right. It could have been worse. What kind of tool would say that publicly?
Right.
He simply said he didn't like the way the vote went, and he said in a colloquial way, oh, I hate this country.
Just as if the candidate you voted for president didn't get elected, and the other guy did, you would be like, what's up with this stupid country? Why don't they vote like I want them to vote? Same sort of thing. And people are calling for him to be fired because of that.
Adam posted a series of defensive tweets trying to make it clear that he
was talking about
literally saying he hates the United States of America, yet there is a certain percentage of the population that doesn't seem to understand or care about his explanation, and they want him, well, I'm sure, at least fired, at most probably staked out on a bed of fire ants with honey poured all over his nude body. I'm guessing something along those lines.
And I'm guessing most of those people don't watch that TV show.
It's just, I hate this country.
Just certainly hate that about this country.
Just exhausting. Great news. We've got some casting updates about Human Centipede 3. That's right.
Please let Beer Mug be in it.
Human Centipede 3, final sequence, it's called.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the second one was enough for me, guys.
Oh, this one promises to make that one look like something that's not as disturbing. Yeah. Eric Roberts. Oscar-nominated actor Eric Roberts joining the cast of Human Centipede 3.
Yeah, Eric.
Wow. Man,
I thought maybe Eric had hit rock bottom when he was in Sharktopus with me, but No, apparently there's still room to go. And he's going to be in Human Centipede 3.
How many parts to the centipede in this movie, does it say?
500-person centipede, Bean.
Oh,
glad
my
you asked.
God. Oh, my God.
Third movie is currently being shot here in California, and 500 people will make up the final sequence.
You need to stop it, and you need to stop it right now.
Five people affixed end to end. Also starring in the film, Tommy Tiny Lister.
Don't know him.
He's a giant black dude who also always plays like gang members and sort of tough guys and things like that.
Okay.
And Brie Olson, Charlie Sheen's
former
girlfriend, will also be in
it's
the
because she thinks it's real.
Yeah.
The
Tom Six will direct. You'll be happy to know they're sticking with the original director.
So he's back.
He won't lose any of its nuance or any of its important social commentary. I'm glad to see Tom Six.
I thought the first one
was
great, you guys. I really genuinely enjoyed the first Human Centipede.
It was gross.
You're a
it
sick
was really good.
It was a sick, disgusting, sick effing movie. Yes. And
it showed very
F.
little. It was psychologically disturbing, like a Hannibal, you know, or something like that.
It was psychologically disturbing, like seeing someone sewn to someone's butt.
Right. That also happened in the movie, but I thought it was just a really good film.
My eyes! My eyes!
Yes, Lisa saw it, and that's what happened. I thought it was good. So much so I recreated it here on the island. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Daniel Tosh is 38 years old today. Melanie Brown, Mel B, as she was known back in the Spice Girls day, she's also 38. She's now one of these judges on one of these type shows.
America's Got Talent.
Yeah. Noel Gallagher of Oasis is 46. Melissa Etheridge is 52. Rupert Everett celebrates his 54th birthday. Actress Annette Bening celebrates 55. LaToya Jackson of the Jackson family, 57. And legendary composer, musician, singer Danny Elfman for many years, of course, with Oingo Boingo. And now he's given us so many film and TV scores, from the Simpsons theme all the way through Batman and Beetlejuice.
You read all those, your head explodes.
Yeah, he's got an incredible resume.
He did the Oz Great and Powerful earlier this year. He's got Epic in theaters right now. I mean, the guy is prolific.
60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have a brand new internet roundup for you. We have Kevin Rahm from Mad Men in the studio. We have Dr. Drew on the program. And we have funny man Jay Moore in the studio as well.
All right.
So that's all tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show.